as per Festinger, as per him, cognitive dissonance theory, there is an inclination to minimize dissonance basis three moderating factors. So first is your significance of causal elements. Now, what happens when there is a cause? The causal element. Motivation to minimize dissonance is high when the attitudes are significant for the individual. If the attitudes that he is following is very, very significant for his own self, there's an interest and there is a motivation to reduce the dissonance. And attitudes in organization, there are three attitudes which reflect the main job attitudes, okay? First is your job satisfaction. It describes how content or how satisfied employees are with their jobs. Second is the single global rating that is a response to one question, okay? So this is one of the tests that administers the job satisfaction of the employees in an organization. How involved are you? Refers to a state of psychological identification with work or the degree to which a job is central to a person's identity. How do you relate with your job? How involved are you in the job? Okay, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? What is your psychological identification with your work? Some people say that, you know, I can't do anything, even if it's bad or even if it's good, ugly, I do not mind because ultimately at the end of the month, I'm getting paid and I'm accountable to my family. Some people say that it gives me a great identity because I love doing what I'm doing. Okay, so it depends on the kind of involvement that you have and kind of psychological identification that you have with your work. And is your organizational commitment. So it is the individual psychological attachment to the organization and its goals. So some people are just not bothered. I don't even know what my organization's goal is. As long as I'm happy with what my manager is asking me to do and I'm doing what is required, I'm happy, I'm fine with it. I don't bother, I don't mind what organization is. Some people are like that as well. Okay, but here it says that how is your psychological attachment, whether it is this way, what I described, or is it like I'm completely in line with my organizational goals? It is the organizational behavior and industrial and organizational psychology. Organizational commitment in an individual psychological attachment to the organization. This is very, very important, you know, how well are you inclined psychologically and what is your attachment to the organization? Okay, so this will actually determine the loyalty as well. Hence, it depends on it affects the attitudes and the organizations. Now comes your perception. Perception and individual decision making. What is, if you ask about perception, what perception mean to you? Perception, as per Stephen Robbins, perception is a process by which individuals organize and interpret their sensory impressions in order to give meaning to their environment. However, what we perceive can be substantially different from objective reality. Okay, so perception is a process by which individuals organize themselves. So it's a thought process that you have, which may or may not be real, by the way. And your perception is your reality and others' perception is their reality. Okay, so it's basis the perception that you have. You create a meaning, you organize your thoughts and you interpret your sensory impressions to create and give a meaning to the environment of yours. So what we perceive can be different from objective reality. As I said, it might not be true, right? So right now I'm standing in, let's say I'm at the temperature 23 and I'm feeling cold enough to be able to stand and, you know, do the session for the next 1 hour. But the person who is there in front of me says that, no, it's fine. I think that's how it should be. I think colder than this, warmer than this, it will really warm up the room. So I don't know whether it's true or not. It is only true, it is what my perception is. It is what I am feeling or it is what he is feeling, right? So it may be far from reality, okay? So what are the factors that influence perception? So individuals' perception are two-pronged. So perceivers' characteristics, so it depends on the situation that you have. It depends on the physical setting that you have, social, what kind of people are there in the setting, and what kind of organizational setting that you have. So it these are the this is characteristics of the perceiver who's going through the perception, and these are the characteristics of the perceived person or organization or the situation. So the perceiver's characteristics are the needs, the experiences, the values that he has, attitude that he has, personality trait that he has. And what are the characteristics of the perceived? The nature of the situation, the nature of the person, the size, the appearance, the location. All these will actually compositely form the perception of the individual. Okay? And it will also stand on the pillar of situational factors, which are physical, organizational, or social. So, attribution theory of perception. So, there are a couple of theories when it comes to perception. So, attribution theory tries to explain the manner in which we evaluate individuals differently, depending on the meaning we assign to a given behavior. The theory states that when we observe an individual's behavior, we try to establish its cause, whether internal or an external. Okay, so it tries to explain in which a manner in which we evaluate and we kind of judge people differently. Okay, depending on the meaning that we give to a particular behavior. So let's say we gave a behavior of a person to be arrogant. Okay, so that's the we give a complete the attribution theory explains the manner in which you have evaluated that person to be arrogant. Okay, so the theory also states that when we observe an individual's behavior, we try to establish his cause also, whether internal or external. Why is he arrogant? What is the reason for him to be arrogant? Is it internal or is it external? Is it because he is like that? He is traditionally designed or by default his behavior is arrogant with everybody? Or is it very situational, which is external? Just because he was he went to another office, then he realized that person, the interviewer, does not sit there, and he has come to another location now, by virtue of which he became late for the interview. So hence he became arrogant about it. So it could be external as well. So you need to understand the individual's behavior, why it has happened. What is the cause of his behavior? Whether it is it internal or is it external? So the internal cause includes behaviors that are perceived to be under individual's personal control. So if it is internal, it is something that if you're born with a particular personality, you, as we understood earlier, that we will be able to regulate ourselves as per the situation's need, right? But if it's external, it includes behaviors that are perceived to be situational and forced on the individual. So sometimes it may not be something which is under your control. You are not a late by, you're not a person who is generally late, but because of the fact that you went to you were given a wrong address, you went to a long address, you got traffic there, and you entered a place and you came back to the place where you were supposed to, and because of which you got late. So it's very situational, isn't it? So that's an external cause. So clear with the internal and the external cause. But there is an error which happens as well. While making the adjustments about people's behaviors, we tend to overestimate the impact of internal causes as compared to that of external causes. So this is referred to as attribution error. So sometimes what happens, we overestimate, okay, that it might create this kind of an impact for an internal behavior of his. Internal, he could have, you know, it's under his control. So he could have done it. So hence we kind of overestimate him to be able to take care of the internal causes, and we do not kind of overlook the external causes. Okay, so this sometimes get into a attribution error. Self-serving bias also happens. It is referred to the tendency of individuals and organizations to attribute their own successes to internal factors. So whenever they are successful, they will attribute their success to their internal factors, such as, you know, my ability, I have put in my 200% efforts, hence it has happened. While there is a failure, if there is a failure, they will always completely blame it on the external factors, such as it was bad luck, somehow we tried it but it didn't happen, the team members were new, I had a loss of two team members. So hence the project did not go the way it was expected. So when it comes to success, people have a tendency to put it on the internal factors and take their credit of their success to their internal factors, such as because of their ability or their efforts, while attributing failure, they always blame it to the external factors, which are, unproductivity of others, bad luck, bad fortune, all of these. So what are the common distractions and perceptions? The shortcuts that we use in judging others are frequently valuable. Huh? So they allow us to make accurate perceptions sometimes rapidly and provide valid data for making predictions. Okay, so these are some of the distortions that it happens. Sometimes they allow us to make accurate. Sometimes they, by default, they become very, very accurate. Okay, but these are some of the distortions that happens. They can do get us into trouble when they result in significant distortions. Okay, so sometimes they can. It might be troublesome if we have so much of distractions. So selective perception is a continuous process in which an individual perceives only what he or she intends to. So it's a very selective perception happens because you like to see only what you want to see. You are not seeing what are associated with it. You want to see the color blue. Hence, you are just focusing on the color blue. You're not seeing what are the other colors that are associated to be able to get into blue. Okay, so you only do a selective analysis and you do a selective perception about it. And ignores others' perceptions or the viewpoints. You completely see what you want to see. There's a halo effect. Again, halo effect is another distortion. This is example of an individual based on perception about an individual based on a single feature, such as his intelligence or his appearance. You know, the moment you see, you make a bias. You saw a doctor. Let's say you went to a hospital and you decided you didn't have a permanent. I mean, you didn't have a pre-booked doctor, but you're just going to the hospital saying that you were not feeling well. You just had fever and all of that, so you didn't want to take a risk. So you went to the hospital to just go and get checked with a normal medicine doctor. So the moment you see that there's a doctor who's dressed up in his lab coat, looks swanky, looks gives a proper impression of a doctor, and then you see there's an old guy with his shabby hair and dirty lab coat, probably not even wearing the lab coat, in slippers, and then he has been talking loudly on phone. You will immediately make a perception that the swanky looking and doctor with the lab coat and everything actually would be a better doctor than this. Just because of his appearance, you made that decision and you went to him. Whereas the other doctor who looked shabby actually came out of a surgery. He is a very, very experienced doctor and awarded also. But you would overlook his credentials because of the halo effect of his intelligence or his... You did not see the intelligence here, you just saw the appearance. Right? That's what is halo effect. So these are common distortions that happens in perceptions. They can... and do get us into trouble when they result in significant distortion. Sometimes we overlook it. Sometimes they just get away. But sometimes it can just get on our way. Sometimes we can be in trouble. Maybe that doctor could have been a complete new one who has just entered the profession. He might not be the right one to solve your problems, right? So we might get into significant distortions at times because of our perceptions that get built basis something. Next perception distortion is your filtering. A person's engaging in filter to mental filtering takes the negative details and manifests and magnifies those details while filtering out all the positive aspects of a situation or the person. Okay, so you look at the person and you filter only the negative that he brings in and you magnify that thing. You know, you put mirch masala and everything, you make it spicy and you make it really big and you ignore all the good things that the person has done. That is what is called as your filtering. Another one, which is a common distortion, is your stereotyping, which is widely held but fixed and oversimplified image or idea of a particular type of person or thing. So judging someone based because of stereotype is called as stereotyping. Okay, so because you have a certain thought, That's the reason you kind of scribble. Okay, I don't think in a factory, you know, in this particular job, a woman will be fitting. No matter how, you know, effective she, or no matter how well she has fared in the interview. But I want to hire a male only because it involves machines. It involves, you know, high pressure job. A woman may not be able to handle it. So that's a typical stereotyping. And because of the stereotyping, because you judge someone based on the stereotyping mindset that you have, it will be called as stereotyping, and this could lead into significant distortions as well. Another one is about judging and jumping into conclusions without having the you know, complete facts and figures in hand. So it's a psychological term referring to a communication obstacle where one judges or decides something without having all the facts to reach unwarranted conclusions. Okay, so you may not have the full picture with you, but basis half heard, this will also have a lack of listening. It will also have selective, filtering as well, that you heard about something and then you actually jumped into the conclusion. You did not even hear the full story. That's again one of the distortions that we go through. So what is the link between perception and individual decision making? Though individual decisions making is highly significant, and the methods and quality of decision making is impacted by individuals. Decision making happens when a discrepancy exists between the current state and the some desired state, requiring us to consider alternative courses. Don't you think so? If there is a disruption between the current and the desired state, between the current state and the amicable state, we will have to consider alternative options and we have to decide what we want to do next, right? So that's when decision making becomes a need. So decision making in organizations, approaches to different approaches are the rational model, bounded reality, and intuition. So basis these three, we take a decision. Okay, so one is your rational thought completely. One is your bounded rationality, which is because of the, we'll see one by one what it is. And third is your intuition. What is rational decision making? This is under this model. It is the stated that best decision maker is rational. And it says this is one of the best models to be to make a decision. And it makes consistent value maximizing choices within risk. Specified constraints. The rational decision-making model relies on number of assumptions. What are those assumptions? Decision maker has to complete information, has the ability to identify all the relevant options that are available in hand, and in a complete unbiased manner. Only then you will be able to make a rational decision. So because you have to have all the information, you have to have the ability to identify what are relevant for you, and have a complete unbiased mindset to be able to decide. You can see it here. Rational choice decision process. Identify the problem. Choose the best decision process. Develop alternative solutions. Now, what is, you have best you have chosen. And then you have to develop different alternatives for it. Then you have to choose the best. Now, out of the alternatives, what is the best one? As per your feasibility and your probability within your organization, you will have to choose the best one, and then you will have to implement the chosen alternative. And then finally, after implementing it, you need to evaluate whether the decision is correct or not. Next is your bounded rationality. Individuals have a limited information processing. So you do not process, any individual do not have a very high processing ability. All human beings have limited information processing capability, which is impossible to assimilate and understand all the information necessary to optimize. Okay, there'll be some of the other parameters which will be left to be evaluated. Okay, so hence it is a challenge that individuals have, very quick and very wide processing ability. So process of unbounded rationality is, once the problem is identified, once you've gone through and you've identified the problem, search for criteria and alternatives begin. However, the criteria tends to be inexhaustible. It is just forever. Alternatives are easy to find, clearly visible. My alternatives, you need to find out the alternatives which are easy to find. You cannot spend too much of time, which are visible and which are familiar, you know, and people are aware of it. Alternatives are reviewed with focus on those similar to the current option until an acceptable alternative is identified. Okay, so you'll have to keep reviewing with the focus of similar ones, okay, to the currently what you have involved, the current option that you are already on. So you'll have to compare it with it, and you'll have, unless and until there is one acceptable standard identified. So next is your intuition, which is the most common way of making decision, which may not be effective, but it is the it is mostly done. We, no matter what you say, across families, across organizations, a lot of people do take decision basis the intuition, and it is most of the time it ends up to be a disaster. It is the least rational way of making decisions. It is not a preferred method of making decision. It is an intuitive decision making and inadvertent process formed from refined experience. You do this, you get into intuition, your intuition says that you should take this decision because of your experience, because over a period of time you have developed that experience. But that does not necessarily say that it will end up being an effective decision making. It happens, intuition happens out of conscious thinking, depends on integrated associations, is quick and involves emotions. It is basis the previous events, it is basis a lot of emotions involved in it. You'll have a lot of thinking patterns which will be associated with it. It may complement rational thinking, and involving intuition sometimes improves decision making. So sometimes if you already are thinking rationally and then clubbing it up with intuitions, it might work out better. But only intuition thinking is not something that is, only intuitively making decision making is not something that is encouraged. Some common decision making biases and mistakes. Overconfidence bias. This is very common. It's very self-explanatory. Overestimating one's performance. You know, I did this, I did that. So, while making decisions can actually hamper the decisions because you're overconfident, you thought it worked previously, so it will work. Today, things might have changed, the situation might have changed, the scope might have changed, so you might have to rethink while making the decision. So sometimes overestimation of your own performance can lead into inactive decisions, ineffective decisions. Anchoring bias, tendency to base a judgment on a familiar reference point, that is incomplete or irrelevant to irrelevant to the problem that is being solved. So just because you saw a similar pattern and based on that you judge, because you had a familiar experience in the past, but you did not incorporate the caveats which are associated with it. So what you will do is you will basis that, you will just kind of take a decision which is called as your anchoring bias. Confirmation bias is a tendency to filter information, which we have discussed earlier in the form of filtering. Tendency to filter information in order to retain only that information which conforms to one's preference. And you can and ignore that which do not conform. Okay, so you just filter out because this is conforming to the requirement that I have, to the information that I have, and hence I will, and this is my preference and this is conforming to that preference, and hence I will take the decision basis of that. And you will ignore the ones which are not at all conforming to you. The availability bias, tendency to base views on readily available information. Jo information hai usi ko leke. You know, emotional events being particularly vivid or recent events tend to be more available in our memory. So whatever is remembered, what is there in our memory, in the we will not recall anything which is, we will not try and dig out facts and figures. What we will do is we will base the views based on what is information in our memory. Okay, so those emotional events, recent events, okay, this was where I saw this happening, so it will be that. So basis that event, you will just tend to make a decision. And our memory is not a computer, it might not have everything intact, right? We may miss out, so as a result we miss out a lot of information and ultimately lead into distortions. Escalation of commitment, tendency to stick to a decision despite clear understanding that you are incorrect. This happens when individuals they view themselves as being responsible for the failure. When they understand that, when they anticipate that I am the person responsible for the failure, and they will actually go through this. They will keep sticking to that, to the decision, knowing that, you know, it is not an effective one. Knowing that it is leading into failure. Okay, they have in because it could be because of the reasons that they have already invested excessive time and energy in making their decisions. So then they will not change, and they will then further shoulder the responsibility and accountability of the failure onto themselves. Few more common decision-making biases and mistakes: randomness error. The tendency to believe one can predict the outcome of random events. Okay, so this is very, very evident that if you just believe the and predict the outcome of the events. Risk aversion. This includes a tendency to prefer a sure thing than taking chances. It is not the taking chances, by the way. When you know that you are sure shot going to get a success, but there is a risk associated with it, that's the risk aversion. Continuing with the strategy successful in the past minimizes the risk. Because this strategy worked in the past, it fetched us success, hence it will be. So this minimizes the risk, but eventually this leads to inactivity because you have taken a huge chance. Factors which influences decision making. Individual difference. Every individual is different. Individual differences create deviations from the rational model, basically. So it leads you from being rational in your decision. So the personality, which is your individual personality, influences our decision making process. Particularly achievement striving, people who are highly achievement oriented, the people who have personality of dutifulness may affect escalation of commitment. They will just not go with the escalation commitment at all. So those kind of people will, those kind of differences of personality will definitely lead into, with the factors which would influence decision making for the person because of the difference in the personality. Gender could be one of the discriminators. Rumination in context of decision making, it refers to overthinking problems. Okay, so when you think too much, you do not come into decision because you're just thinking about each event. Women are found to be ruminant more than men, leading to careful consideration because research says that women are more careful in taking the decisions. So hence, they would be, more than men, they will be doing the overthinking and they will go through multiple analysis, multiple considerations and go through, evaluate each option. While on the other hand, making problems harder because you're evaluating so many options, it is becoming harder to come to a decision. Okay. So sometimes it might lead into, because of your too many evaluations, too much of time invested on it, it may lead into regret or depression as well. So that's how gender could be one of the factor. Individual differences we have already mentioned here. Individual differences in terms of mental ability, in terms of intelligence. People with high mental ability, though, are expected to be less susceptible to common decision errors. They fall prey to anchoring biases, okay? Or because they are overconfident and they will just know that, they will just be sure that, you know, whatever I decide, whatever I make a decision, it will definitely be a success and it will be definitely a right one. So it may just lead into an overconfidence, and which could lead into an anchoring bias. Cultural differences. Cultural background significantly influences problem selection. Depth of analysis, importance of logic, the background that you come from, the orientation in terms of time that you have. Some countries, if you're working in diverse countries and you come from a different culture altogether, some countries look at time very differently compared to what we look at. So the time orientation, belief in the individual abilities, and preference for collective decision making. So these could also pose as a factor which influences decision making. These factors could also be, some of the factors would be also organizational constraints. you know, the reward system that you have, the performance assessment system that you have, the formal regulations, rules and regulations fixed individuals to act in the intended manner and limit decision choices. Because of the rules, because of the strict rules and regulations that exist within the organization, we act in a particular way that we are supposed to. We do not do too much of, we do not have too many choices to exercise. The people are influenced by the organization's reward system, and it shows choices with better personal payoffs. So this would also be some of the factors to influence your decision making. What is a cognitive bias? A cognitive bias, as we spoke about this earlier also, is a systematic error in thinking that occurs when people are processing and interpreting the information in the world around them and affects the decisions and judgments that they make. As I mentioned to you earlier also, the cognitive bias is a thought process and it's an error in your thought process when you are processing and interpreting an information in the world or the ecosystem around you to give a meaning there. And this affects the cognitive, when you're already biased, it affects the decisions and judgments that you make. One of the cognitive biases that I have gone through myself is, I always thought, being the woman of the house, I am responsible for all the household jobs. This I have, learned it off late only that, you know, if I'm not around and if the job calls, if only my job requires me to travel out and, in the pandemic also, if I have to step out to be able to, do my job, and if my husband does not require to, it's okay that he can also do some of the household jobs. This is only in last few years that I have realized it. I have always gone through this cognitive bias that me being the woman of the house, I should be responsible. So I will do everything. I will call my cook on time and find out, you know, how to, all of that. So hence it needs to be, it's a cognitive bias. It's about the systematic error in thought process. Some of these biases are related to memory also, because you already have this in your memory. This is what I remember, and basis that you make a decision. So hence this could be one of the trigger process. The way you remember an event may be biased for a number of reasons, and that in turn can lead to biased thinking and decision making. The way you remember the event could be also because of some filtering, because of some of your preferences, and this may lead you to biased thinking as well. The way you see and think about the world is your cognitive bias. When you're making judgments and decisions about the world around you, you like to think that you are objective. You always like to think that you're objective. You like to think that you're logical, and you kind of reassure yourself with this. And you like to think that you're capable of taking in and evaluating all the information that is available to you. This is what typically is. The way you see and think about the world around you, when you're making a judgment and when you're making a decision, you like to think that you're objective enough, you are logical enough, and you like to think that you are taking a very, very balanced and evaluating all the options, all the information that is available to you, and basis that you're making your decision. So that's what is your cognitive bias. Thank you so much.